Ok. So week two, 12 to go. Soon we'll be there. So this week, we're mostly just talking about practical stuff as opposed to the boring theory we did last week, which hopefully it's better for you. That's actually going to be like the next 3 weeks, and then it's a mix between theoretical and practical, so that's about the time that people are going to start coming to lectures, I think. So this week we'll just do, or I've introduced how to like do queries and different types of stuff last week to retrieve data from the database. And now we'll go deeper into how to make like more complex queries and how to get like different type of stuff from the database. The slides aren't like a very interactive thing because I could just be like, oh, here's how to do this, here's how to do this. So I'm just gonna do what I did last week, which is just like write the queries as I go. And then if you want, you can follow along with the slides in your computer. They're in Blackboard already. Whoever complained about the slides, are you here? Nicholas? Yeah, it was you. Yeah. So everything works now. Thanks for complaining. And since you complained, you can be part of the reference group. You're the only person that said anything, so clearly you're the person for the job. Yeah. So that's why I never like emailed anyone when I was in uni, or like ever like said anything, because then I'm not like in the professor's radar, and I'm just like, they don't even know I exist, so then I never get asked to do anything or have any problems. So yeah, tough luck for you. The only way you can get out of it is by saying that you're not from BWU. Yeah, so yeah, sucks for you. So database that we'll use for these examples is the same that we used last week. Does everybody have it set up in their computer now? Or like the stuff that you use for assignments? Is that going okay? Or is there any delays there? No? Cool. So you should be able to follow along with this as well, hopefully. Last week we I introduced like how to just it's kind of small. It's kind of big. How to select stuff from the database, so how to retrieve data. So you can do this and you get a alu. Very shitty user interface. And then you get all countries, right? No database selected. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So selecting this selects all countries. Then you can also filter it on like a specific column. So you can just select country name from countries, and then you get that thing. But then some people had already asked last class, oh, what if I want to like restrict so I don't get like all the data all the time? This is important, say for example, for, well, everything, right? Like if you want to get like a certain amount of products, you don't get like if you have like a website for a supermarket, you don't retrieve like the 5 million products they sell like all the time. That would take like a lot of time. So you usually like break it down into smaller, more manageable like pieces of data. So you can let's say, for example, for employees, we want all the employees that are related to or that are a part of this department, Department 90, which is executive. So get all the executive employees. You can select everything from employees, and then you can use the where keyword to filter that data on a specific column. So you can do where department ID equals 90. And then you just get these three employees, which are the only ones that belong to that department. So the where clause can be used whenever you want to not get all the data, but just get part of the data that belongs to that table. So you can select all employees where the last name is King, for example. And then you get two employees. So this can be used, for example, like if you're searching for, you know, and then you have like a search query in a website, this is what is happening behind the scenes. There's a query that's similar to this, where like the data gets filtered by whatever the search thingy that you've put in. Yeah, and of course you can like do these sort of comparisons up against like multiple like different data types. So for department ID, we're comparing against an integer or a number. For last name, we're comparing against a string. So this works for all data types. But you can also instead of using the equal sign, we also have like these arithmetic operators, so greater than and less than and all that stuff. Not equal is done like this in MySQL. So the arithmetic comparisons work for basically everything as well. So you can do where last name is bigger than King, which would give you all of the people that have the last name that comes after a K. So for depending on the data type that you're filtering on, that's what the operator takes into account. So if you're using or filtering on strings, it will compare on string, so bigger than is going to be, or greater than is going to be all the stuff that comes afterwards in the alphabet, in alphabetical order. Less than is going to be the other way around. Same for numbers, if it's bigger than 90, all that stuff. Same for dates, you can also do it for dates. So the operators are context specific. And then, that all come afterwards. But we could probably just jump ahead since you asked. It's the same. So what you're saying is, so if we're comparing like this, we want an exact match, right? And if we're comparing with the equal, we want like the whole data in that field should match whatever comes after the equal. But that is not always the case, right? Like if you wanna say if you're like searching for songs on Spotify or something, and then you just like you don't know the full song name, but you kind of know it. Like you don't want to like not find the song, because that's really annoying. And like it depends. Like some websites are just like, oh yeah, give me the whole name, or you're screwed. I don't know what's going on. What's an example of that? It's one of the streaming sites. They're like if you don't get the like the name exactly right, they're just like, oh, get fucked. Yeah, Netflix goes like a step further where they like give you stuff that's like, oh, we don't have it in our catalog, but it's close enough. So the like operator matches it, so it can be like close enough, right? So it just kind of checks to see if those like characters exist in that field, and then it just returns everything where it does. So if you do like king, you're still gonna get like all the kings. But if you do like no, it could be something more specific. We'll just do A. Yeah, like this. So if you do percent A, you get all the names that end with an A. So what percent here is doing is, yeah, I'm going to show you the slides because it's easier to understand. That's kind of small. So like makes or searches for like valid strings that match whatever the search input that you've passed. And if you put a percent, it'll like match. So here it'll match S, and then the percent just gives it like, oh, whatever, afterwards, right? If you use the underscore, it'll just match one character. And the percent will match zero or more. So here it'll match like every string that starts with an S. So we can try it here. We do S and then something. So all the last names that start with an S. But if you put anything before, so this would be everything where the second letter is an S. I'm unsure if this is... no, it's not case dependent. So something that would actually, I guess an A, would that work? Yeah. So by using underscore, that this is the use case. So say you want to something to be in a specific position, so like an A in the second position, then you use the underscore character. Is it that much used? No, not really, but it's an option. This is the type of stuff that would only come up in university exercises, like, oh, find all the users that have a A as a second letter. It would never be like a requirement in real life, I think. That'd be a very weird requirement, yeah. Yeah. So we can try this. And then it's Grant and Whalen. So yeah, that is like, we didn't actually skip that much. It's only like two things. So the things I skipped was between. That's also a keyword that you can use. So we can do select all the employees where the salary is between what's a salary, normal salary range here? 7,000. So between 5,000 and 7,000. So then you get like all the salaries that are within, or you get all the employees where the salaries are within that range. And this is the equivalent of doing where salary is bigger than, bigger and equal than 5,000, and salary is lower or equal than 7,000. You'd get the same results. So it's just a shortcut. And then you also have the in condition. Those are something that your group or your group of people asked, like last class. So if you have like a lot of or clauses, so say we want employee where their ID is 101, or their ID is 102, and then you have like a lot of these. As soon as you like start hitting control V too many times, like you're probably not doing something that is appropriate. So this ends up being like a super long query that is kind of like unreadable, but to get like all the employee numbers from 101 to 109, they just happen to be sequential. Like I could have just done like 150. So this is a bit too much. So you can do where employee ID is in, and then you give it like a little a list with different parameters, and this is equivalent. So I'm not gonna type all of them. This is enough. So sometimes, like if you have like two clauses, right? Like it's okay to have an or. It's maybe even like more readable to be like, oh, it can be this or this. Like to have an in like this sometimes is a bit like, it depends on the person, right? It does the same thing. So it's like what matters about queries is, are the humans that are reading them, do they understand what's going on? Because the computer doesn't care, right? Like for the computer, it's just zeros and ones and stuff. So yeah, those are the two options to do that. Then we have that, and then to compare stuff against null, we can do like manager. Yeah, so I also showed last class, but this is so not all employees have managers. Like the top managers don't have managers. So if you want to find those, you can do is null. This is how you compare against the null value. And then you get just Stephen King because he's the head boss. Alternatively, you can also do is not null to get all of the stuff that is not null. So all these values are defined. Yeah, so we've gone through a log. Yeah, so if you want to have multiple clauses, so where manager ID is not null, and it the employee ID is in like 101, 102, 103. This is how you like chain clauses, so you can like search data on multiple columns, for example, or multiple, or filter it in multiple using multiple conditions. So where get me all the employees where the manager ID is not null and the employee ID is between these IDs, and then the name is this, and you get one row of the database. This is the equivalent of or like the real life example of this is when you have like all those filters like on Finn, for example, where you can like search for, you know, location and price and all that stuff, like behind the scenes of the query like this is being done, where it kind of like chains all the search filters that you've put in and then requires a database to get all that data. Also, do you know like logical operators, how they work, like the AND and the OR and all that like logic? Or yeah. Does everybody like, or is everybody comfortable with like Boolean algebra? Or not really? Should I explain it? No? Yeah. So this is, I'm guessing like all the programming people are more used to like seeing ORs and ANDs and NOTs all the time. But the basics of it is, this was a lot of time since I've like, you kind of like you learn it and then you just like, you know it, but you never really have to explain it ever to people. So like, let's see how this goes. Yeah, are those like a bit too, like too much, or is that like the, we'll just like write down all the stuff that and what the result is, and hopefully that's enough. So if you have two clauses and you're using an AND, so you have clause A and B. The rows that you like get back, they have to satisfy both A and B, right? If it's, yeah. So both A and B need to be true for the whole thing to be true. For if you have A or B, either one can be true and the result is going to be true. So one of them can be false and that's okay. If you have not A, that means it's for it to be true, it needs to be false, right? So anything that doesn't fit this, the whatever query you're passing it, that's what sort of satisfies that specific thing. And then like this is like fairly easy if you just have like this. But then you can like start going like A and B, or and B or C, and then and D or E, and then like it can become like very complex, right? So the way you do it is just like you break it down by the smallest thing, or like the innermost parentheses. So you can start with like A and B, and you evaluate like what the truth value of A and B is, and then you just kind of replace it here, and then you have like either true or false. And then you do the same for the next thing, and for the next thing, until you end up with like a truth value, right? So this kind of becomes just like the exercises end up being interpreting text. That's usually how the like exercises are given. Like, oh, give me something that follows this criteria. So you'll just need to like translate that into an expression like this. And the rules for parentheses are the same. So you do first, you do the stuff within parentheses, and then you start like doing all the other operations. But you will practice some of this, so it's not too foreign. It'll be okay. Don't worry. Yeah. So using the and not. Yeah, not can also be used with the in operator. So if we're doing. Where employee ID is not in that range, then it'll return like everything else. So here are the rules of precedence. So whatever it's from. It's from whatever is done first or has the most precedence to whatever has the lowest. So first it's arithmetic operators, so plus and bigger than and all that stuff. Plus and minuses and the basic arithmetic operations. And then concatenation, which is, you know, joining strings together, doing all that stuff. Comparisons like the equals and bigger thans and all that. And then the is and is not and like null and all that. And then between and then not and then and then or. And then of course you can use parentheses around whatever you need to change that order. So we can try. To give you an example, we can try this here. Can I copy it? Hopefully. Alright. So we'll select everything where the job ID equals SA rep. From employees. Or job ID equals AD pres and the salary is bigger than 15,000. So, according to the rules of precedence that were in the previous slide, what gets done first or what gets evaluated first is the and. So, if the job ID can be SA rep, or it will be a job ID that has AD pres where the salary is bigger than this. So it's kind of the same as having parentheses around these two expressions, right? So if you query it, this is the same as getting, so for SA reps, we get all the salary ranges. All the salaries like that fit that condition, and are there no AD preses with salary bigger than that? How do you comment on this? Is it this? At least a valid example in the slide. not working. So where the job ID is SA rep. Did I like misspell it or something? AD pres. Well, this is annoying. Is there something wrong with the salary range or something? Yeah, but that doesn't really affect. So, you have job ID, which is AD underscore pres, yeah? And salary is bigger than. So this query should fulfill. Yeah. And then or I'm missing the order. Or did I take it off? Okay, there it is. Yeah, so it showed the AD president that has a salary that is bigger than that. And it also showed all the SA reps. So it's basically the same as doing the query two times. One time with this condition, and then one time with this other condition, and then returns both of the result sets in the same in the same result. If you do, or if we switch this and or, since the and is done first, this would actually not work because it would be the, or would it? Yeah. So it would be job ID. I don't know why that works, but the actual thing I wanted to show you was if we put parentheses or around this stuff, this condition here, it would be the job ID that is both SA rep or the pres, and the salary is over 15,000, which means the ID can be either these two, and then the salary has to be bigger than 15,000, which means it then will not show all of the SA reps because none of them have a salary that's that high. So you can use parentheses to force priority. And some exercises here. It's 12:50. So, yeah. Should I do these? I'll do these exercises. So, if you have the slides up. I'm doing practice one exercises that are in the 23rd slide. So I won't do all of them because we won't have time, I think, but I can do a few to kind of like reinforce what I've been talking about. So create a query to display the last name and salary of employees earning more than 12,000. So you kind of like need to break down whatever is given to you into pieces and then figure out what do you need to put in any in every other spot, so in select and in from and where and all that stuff. So the first thing, it's create a query to display the last name and salary of employees. So you want to select stuff from the employees table, and then you want to select the last name and the salary, and then it restricts the stuff that you want to see, and it says all the people that are earning more than. So more than is just a plain bigger than sign, and then you end up with these employees. So this is about as hard as this exercise is going to be in the exam. And then display, I'll jump to the fourth one. Display the employee name, job ID, and start date of employees hired between 20th February of 1998, May 1st of 1998. Order the query in ascending order and start date. Haven't learned order yet. Okay, so this is again the employees table, right? And then it asks for the last name, the job ID, and the start date, and then where the employees were hired between. So their hire date, yeah. So where hire date is between 20th February 1998. Wait, I need to go back and check. How do you actually Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, yeah, it's like this these type of notations depend from every SQL implementation to everything else. So yeah, okay, yeah, it's 1998 because like there's been like a lot of nerds that have been like, they always have like different opinions on how stuff should be done, so then they all implement stuff in different ways. So like different database management systems manage different like stuff in different ways. So like functions can be different, or like how you represent certain data types. Here you're learning how to do stuff the MySQL way, which is usually enough to translate that into like other types of databases, because if you don't know something, then you can just be like, oh, I knew how to do this in MySQL. Let me search online how to do it some other way. But it can be a bit of a hassle. It's kind of like all the BWU people, you learned React, right? And then it's like, oh, but now you're going to work with Angular on in your job, you know? It's like close enough that you can like search for the stuff that you're missing, but you know, there's not that much overlap other than that. So then you just kind of have to figure stuff out yourself. So yeah, the exercise was slide 23. So it was between May 1st and February. So 1998, May 5th. So this would be how you would fix. Start date. Is there no start date? I guess it's the hire date. Or is it from job history? Oh, okay. No, I probably lost the history as well of the last query that I did. Oh, great. Okay. So, but I haven't thought joins yet. Huh, these slides are jumping ahead. I'll just carry on. The way you had to do it was you need to join it with job history. I can just show you how to do it. Okay, so this is jumping ahead a bit, but it's fine. So here we need to query stuff based on the employee start date. But the start date is actually in a different table. Because if we select all the employees, we have hire date, but we don't have anything else. So if we need more data, we can join the data of the current table that we're querying with another table. And this is when I talked about foreign keys, this is how like the connection between tables is done. So the one table is going to refer to another table by their primary key, and that's a foreign key, like the ID of the row in another table in the original table. That makes sense. So it's like if we have table A that has like an ID and a the ID of B, right? And then we have table B, which just has an ID. This is going to refer to this. So IDs are the primary keys for each of the tables, and then the BID is a foreign key because it refers to another, or the primary key in another table. So then you can create a relationship like this. And that's what you see here, for example, when we have like manager ID and department ID, these are foreign keys that refer to a row in another table. So we want to join employees with job history because we want the job history of specific or of the employees. And then you also need to tell them like SQL isn't going to like guess what you want to join them on. So you need to select from join on employees. Employee ID would be equal to job history employee ID. So then by doing this query, you can get all the employees with all of their job histories. So you can see, for example, that Nina used to be a account manager or manager something from 93 to 97, and then she was an accountant from 89 to 93. So you get all the records of all the employees that have a job history. And then the rest of the exercise was this wanted the last name, the job ID, and the start date. Hire date was between 1998-02-20 and 1998 8:05:01. Okay. And then this complains about stuff. Column job ID is ambiguous. So you're fetching stuff from two different tables, right? And the tables can have overlapping column names. So in this case, we have a job ID that refers to the job history table. And then you have a job ID that refers to the employees table column. And in this case, like, they're the same data, so it doesn't actually matter, but it could be that they are different data. Say, for example, if we're joining departments and employees and both of those tables have names, right, then it's different data, it's different name columns, and you don't know, like, if you're querying for a name, you don't know to which one it belongs to. So then you add the table that column is referring to before the column. So that should hopefully be enough. So then we only have data here for Taylor, which was hired as a SA rep, or that started as an SA rep in these two dates and was hired way back then. Yes, that's exercise 4, and this taking a shit ton of time, so we'll just move on. I'll just quickly go through the last stuff in this PowerPoint, and then we'll take a break, I think. Or, nah, I'll just take a break now. Fuck. I'm tired of talking. Come back at 13:15. Yeah, 12 minutes. So we're like 7 minutes over already, so it's okay to start. So to keep on going with the huge amount of like, This works again. Who did exercise one? No one? Who did exercise two? Okay. Who did exercise three? Yeah. Four? Yeah. Five? Yeah. Okay. Six? Huh. So if I want to flunk a bunch of you, then I'll just make like a lot of exercises and you have to be quick. And then, yeah, okay. Good to know. So exercise one from this thing I'd already done, which was the earning more. That was fairly straightforward, right? And then we had create a query to display the employee last name and department number, where the employee number is 176. So again, first you figure out what column or what table you are making the query on. Then you figure out what the select is, or like what columns you want to display in your results, which here it's last name and department ID. And then you figure out like what you're filtering on. So where employee ID equals 176. The question I was asked was, how do you, like, sometimes I use quotes here, sometimes I don't. This depends on, like, the data type of the column that you're filtering on. So if it's a number, you can see it in the column definitions. So employees, and if you go to right, columns, so if you see the column definitions, you have some columns that are ints, some columns that are varchars, some that are decimals, stuff like that. So if there are numbers, it's the same as in like JavaScript or other programming languages. You just write like the number, or if it's a varchar, which is a string, then you need quotes because it's a string. If it's a date, you also need quotes. If it's a decimal, that's a number, so you also don't need quotes. So it also always depends on the type of the column that you're filtering on. So after we did that, then we have employee 176, which is this one. Then display the last name and salary for all employees whose salary is not in the range of 20, from 5,000 to 12,000. So let's see. So select. A lot of times what I do as well is that like I just start with the most general query and then I just make it more restricted as I go. Also because it's like easier to figure out what you're missing if you actually have already like the data. So you can start with this and then do, for example, salary not in range. So you can do where salary not between 5,000 and 12,000, So this will give you all the data and then the salaries that are not in that range. And then you can restrict on the columns that the exercise says that you should return. So we have like already all the queries done. And then we can just do last name and salary. And that's it. And then display the last name and department number of all employees in departments 20 and 50 in alphabetical normal order, order by name. So select from employees where the departments is 20 or is department ID is 20 or 50. You could also have done like department ID in 20 and 50. And then sort by the name, so order by. I'm guessing it's the last name. Order by last name. And then it asks for the department number and the last name, department ID. So, yeah. And then list the last name and salary of employees who earn 5 to 12,000 and are in departments 20 and 50. Label the columns employee and monthly salary. So last name, salary from employees where the salary is between 5,000 and 12,000 and the department is 20 or 50 and then label the columns. So last name should be employee and salary should be monthly salary. Salary. Yeah. So again, like if you need, normally columns are just one keyword, right? So if you want like multiple keywords with a space in between, you need to add the quotes. So that was it, I think. I can post like the solutions for these exercises afterwards. So I'll just look at the lecture and type it out because I can't be bothered to solve this again. Yeah, I guess that's it for today.